Let's read together Job chapter 31. In this chapter, we have the conclusion of Job's final response to his three friends who have accused him of hidden or secret personal sin. In this chapter, Job strongly defends his innocence once again. Let's begin by reading verses 38 through 40, the last three verses of the chapter. Job chapter 31, beginning now with verse 38. If my land cries out against me, and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruit without money, or caused its owners to lose their lives, then let thistles grow instead of wheat, and weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Let's begin our study of this chapter of Job, Job 31, with some background notes. Question: what is your reaction to the last sentence in this chapter? The words of Job are ended. Now, do you wish Job would go on, or do you breathe a sigh of relief and say, finally? I suppose it depends on how you view Job and his responses to his three friends in the dialogues that we've been looking at. If you view Job as proudly claiming to be self-righteous, then you'll probably agree with one commentary that I read, which concluded this section with, quote, the words of Job are ended. One feels like saying, thank God, end of quote. On the other hand, if you view Job as only defending his innocence because he's been falsely accused, then you feel a lot better about Job's long talks concerning his good deeds and righteous claims. In fact, when we read this statement, the words of Job are ended, the idea is that the defense rests his case, as in a court of law. Now the ball is in the Lord's court, so to speak, and Job will wait for God's answer. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this chapter in Job. Doctrinal point number one: in his final response to his three friends, Job disavows his association with wrongdoing. In his final response to his three friends, Job disavows his association with wrongdoing. In this chapter, Job disavows any wrongdoing in a number of different areas. Now, we use the word disavows because in denying any wrongdoing, Job took an oath in these various areas, complete with self-imprecation or a curse, if indeed he was guilty of any wrongdoing. Let's read the first four verses of the chapter. Job 31, beginning now with verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above, and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction of the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? In verses 1 through 4 here, Job denied any wrongdoing in the area of sexual lust, verse 1. Job knew that God brought destruction and disaster on those who sinned in this area, verses 2 and 3. Job was not hiding any secrets in this area because he knew that you can't hide anything from God who sees all. Verse 4. Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Now in verses 5 through 8, Job claimed that he was innocent of lying and cheating in any way, especially in business dealings. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 31, beginning with verse 5. If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. Job's request to be weighed on honest scales, in verse 6, obviously has nothing to do with dieting or weight watching, but has to do with buying and selling in the ancient world. In verses 7 and 8, Job says that if he had been dishonest in any way, or taken something nice that didn't belong to him, or had sticky fingers and wrongly walked away with something, then he was willing to have God take away his harvest and to have nothing. Now let me ask you, can we claim what Job claimed? Or are there some questions concerning our honesty in the area of buying and selling, or our honesty in the workplace? Let's read verses 9 through 12. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her. For what would be wickedness? Yes, it would be iniquity, deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. In these verses, we see that Job is so firm in his marriage commitment that he is willing to say that if he had been unfaithful in any way, then let his wife become a sexually abused, lowly slave. Wow, Job is really convinced of his innocence. In verses 13 through 15, Job claimed fair treatment of his servants so that any complaint that they may have was unjustified. Let's read these verses, verses 13 through 15. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? Job here gives two reasons why he made sure he was innocent in this area. Number one, he would have to answer and give an account to God someday. And so will we, by the way. And number two, all men are created equal, including servants and masters. Verse 15. Let us never forget this biblical truth. Now let's read verses 16 through 23. If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it. But from my mouth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he has not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket, for destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. In these verses, Job denied all forms of oppression of the poor and needy. This was true even when Job was a teenager. Verse 18. Job had gone out of his way to help the widows and orphans with food and clothing and legal support in the gate, that is, in court proceedings. Verse 21. Job would rather have his arm ripped off from its shoulder socket if he was guilty. That would be far better than answering to Almighty God. Now in verses 24 through 28, Job denounced all forms of materialism and idolatry. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 31, beginning now with verse 24. If I have made gold my hope, or said to fine gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. If I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand. This would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. Notice that worshiping the sun and moon has been an idolatrous practice from ancient times. Now let's read verses 29 through 34. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. If I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silence and did not go out of the door. That is from verses 29 through 34. In these verses, Job stated that he was not guilty of gloating or imprecation, that is, cursing in reference to his personal enemies. Instead, Job was known for his feeding and caring for anyone who came to his tent, not just family members. There was nothing to hide with Job, verse 33. The public could be sure that he was not a hypocrite, verse 34. In his final response to his three friends, Job disavows his association with wrongdoing. Doctrinal point number two. In his final response to his three friends, Job declares his assurance of vindication. In his final response to his three friends, Job declares his assurance of vindication. Verses 35 through 37. Job chapter 31, beginning now with verse 35. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. In these verses, we see that Job is so confident of his being in the right that once again, we see he is willing to go to court with Almighty God. The big question here is whether the accuser or adversary or prosecutor in verse 35 is Satan or one of Job's three friends or God himself. The Hebrew word that's used for accuser here is not the same Hebrew word that's used for Satan back in chapter 1. And the Hebrew structure of these verses make a good case that Job has God in mind. In any event, Job is willing to boldly and openly carry his claims as a prince before God. Verses 36 and 37. In verses 38 through 40, the verses that we read earlier, Job is even calling for his land to be unproductive if he is guilty. Then all could see, and it would be obvious to all, that God found Job guilty. But Job is sure that this will not happen. In his final response to his three friends, Job declares his assurance of vindication. Now that brings us to our practical application for Job 31. Watch what you watch. Watch what you watch. Let's go back to verse 1 for our practical application. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job may have had more in mind here than just looking lustfully at a woman. Job may also be denying a widespread form of idolatry in the ancient world, that is, devotion to the goddess of fertility. In any event, by way of application, if you don't watch what you watch, it can lead to idolatry, because anything that takes away from God being number one in your life is idolatry. Job made a covenant with his eyes not to watch what he shouldn't watch. Have we? What do you allow your eyes to watch? On TV? Online? The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Now let me ask you, do you think the Apostle Paul watched what he watched? You can be sure that he did. And so should we. Watch what you watch.